Please be seated. I don't know about you, but Easter seems like it was a lifetime ago. And I guess that's what happens when you schedule your daughter's wedding the week after Easter. I don't know what we were thinking, but we did survive. But it seems so long ago. And I've told you this before, that Easter and Holy Week are awfully difficult times for clergy. There's just a lot of demands. There's a lot to do. And you have heard my pity party before, so I won't repeat it. But Easter and Holy Week demands are, frankly, child's play when compared to being a student in seminary. You see, when I was in seminary, it seemed that there was this belief that any possible worship service, event, spiritual discipline, you name it, that had ever been conceived by God or by the church had to be incorporated into those 7 days. There were at least 4 services every single day, going from 7 a.m. to 10 at night. In our first year of seminary, all that was preceding finals, so it was even more grueling. But the thing I remember most about that first year was Holy Saturday. The Easter Vigil, which we don't do here, maybe we will some year, but the Easter Vigil began at 3:30 a.m. It was designed so that the 2.5-hour service, yes, 2.5 hours at 3:30 a.m., would conclude at sunrise. Lori went with me that morning as some 100 bleary-eyed seminary students, family, and faculty gathered in the cold mist outside the chapel, waiting for the new fire to be lit to begin the service, and we wisely had left the kids home asleep. And after the service, there was this absolutely beautiful champagne breakfast in the refectory. We got home probably about 8 o'clock, and the plan was to wake our kids and get them ready to attend Easter Sunday services at our home church in Huntsville, which was about an hour away, and then we were going to have Easter lunch with all our family. We were exhausted. The kids were still asleep when we got home, so we laid down for just a minute before it was time to wake the kids. And you obviously have guessed it, we fell asleep. And I'm not sure what time it was, but I was awakened with Samantha tugging on my shirt. "Dad, Dad, are you awake? Dad, wake up. Dad, I think we missed Easter." And indeed we had. It was too late to get to Huntsville for our family church and the family lunch afterwards. And we realized that we had become so exhausted getting ready for Easter that we missed it. I think we missed Easter. While those were the words of my daughter that morning, I can fully imagine them to be the words of these two men walking on this road to Emmaus with a stranger that they can't recognize. This chapter of Luke comes to us in 3 distinct sections. It begins at dawn with hope as the morning sun rises over that empty tomb, with men in dazzling clothes who sent the women away with amazing news. And then the chapter ends in Bethany with a blessing from Jesus as he is carried up into heaven. But here in the middle of the story, we have these two men who have set out for the town of Emmaus. And this is one of my absolute favorite Bible stories. It is because of all the post-Easter texts, this one is so rich in so many different ways, so rich in meaning as to what I believe our Christian journey is all about. But it's also my favorite because this road is where I think you and I spend most of our lives, between those abandoned linens of the tomb and that hope that is to come. And as the story unfolds, it's Easter afternoon. And because we know the rest of the story, we know that this stranger is Jesus. And I don't know why these men don't recognize him. I have heard and read all the possibilities, and frankly, I don't care. These men proceed to tell their new friend what has happened in Jerusalem the past few days, almost indignant that he seems to be unaware. They tell him that their Lord was handed over to suffering and death, and that some women went to the tomb and it said his body was no longer there. So there were already rumors going on, complete with angels and everything, that Jesus was in fact alive. And this is the part of the story where Jesus seems that he just can't stand their blindness anymore. And he seems to say to them, well, duh. That's not what he actually said, but that's what he meant. Isn't that what Jesus said would happen? And they continued their walk, and they get to the stopping point, and they ask their new friend to stay with them. It's dinner time. And at the table they share, Jesus breaks the bread, and their eyes are opened. Now, there's certainly a sermon there. It's the idea that Christ is most clearly made known to us in the mystery of the Eucharist, in the breaking of bread, remembrance, and thanksgiving. But even that is not the most important part to me. You see, I cannot get past the idea that these disciples traveling from Jerusalem to Emmaus are going the wrong way. They're going the wrong way. Think about it. The greatest event in human history has just happened. These disciples are even aware of the rumors that Jesus has risen. Now, if you were a follower in those days, don't you think you'd stay around just long enough to see if those rumors were true? The whole Gospel of Luke is pointed toward Jerusalem, and these men are headed the wrong way to a little town that's known for absolutely nothing. And for me, this is the really amazing part. It's that Jesus walks the wrong way with them. He doesn't try to turn them around. He walked with them. He talked with them. He listened to them. He shared their journey. That's profound to me. That is profound and so absolutely comforting. Because all of us miss Easter now and then. All of us let our busyness, the demands on our time, our fears, and our blindness keep us from recognizing the risen Christ. And all of us head in the wrong direction from time to time. And the wonderful thing is that Jesus wills to walk that road with us, even if it's in the absolute opposite direction from where he wills us to be. It's been said that Emmaus didn't just happen. Instead, it always happens. Because it's wherever we go and whatever we do to make us forget that things aren't always good and fair. It's our place of doubt and confusion. It's a place of fear when it all seems to have lost meaning and hope. Yet it is a place that where we never travel alone. For the risen Christ travels with us, even in the wrong direction, until just maybe we can see things a little more clearly. And it's in those moments where we realize that we don't have to miss Easter, that Easter doesn't end at the close of the Easter Sunday service, that instead it stretches throughout all of our journeys and includes so many strangers along the way. And they may not look like Jesus, but sometimes that's exactly who they are. And it's in those precious moments of eye-opening clarity that we know that the one who travels with us is the one who loves us and longs to be one with us, no matter what. It's in those precious Emmaus moments where our lives can never again be the same. God love you. Amen.